We're going to be reading this morning from the book of John. We're going to start off in chapter 1, and then we're going to move over to chapter 20. So John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never extinguished it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to telling about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or pain, but a birth that comes from God. And so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is greater, far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." Now, John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. "And that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. 'Peace be with you,' he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.' And then he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" You know, people know darkness. We've seen darkness. We've seen darkness displayed. Over the past year, 2020 in many ways was a year of darkness. A small virus. We call it COVID-19. It infected, it mutated, and it spread rapidly around the world. Millions were infected. They got sick, hospitalized. Many died. Over a 500,000 in the United States alone. Darkness. And with the virus came the darkness of selfishness and hoarding. You know, take care of number one. Let everybody else worry about themselves. You know, store up all the toilet paper you can. I guess they thought that you could eat it. I'm not for sure what that was all about. But selfishness and hoarding, darkness. We also came face to face with the darkness of racism. And whether we want to admit it or not, it is so much a part of our life in the United States. On top of this, there's the darkness of poverty, the loss of jobs, despair, depression. Oh, the list could just go on and on of the darkness that people face. We know darkness. But yet, as people of the resurrection, the people of God, we also know the light. And no matter how deep the darkness, it cannot overcome the light. It cannot overcome Jesus. You see, the greatest darkness of all, sin and death, could not hold him. So neither can the darkness that we may face. Jesus, the light of the world, overcame. And he overcomes the powers of darkness. Where we find the disciples in John chapter 20 is they are in need of light. We find them in a room, locked, afraid, without hope. They are in need of light. They have witnessed their friend, the Messiah, die. They had staked their life on him. And because of their relationship with Jesus, now they fear for their own lives. You know, the Roman authorities would kill them for being insurrectionist, for Jesus was proclaimed a king. Power-hungry Herod, who killed his own sons to stay in power, did not want any competition. He would be out looking for them. And then there's the religious leaders. They viewed him as blasphemers. Caiaphas, the Jewish chief priest, viewed Jesus as a fake Messiah, a blasphemer. And so any follower of Jesus would be worthy of the same thing Jesus faced, and that would be death. The disciples were living in darkness, without hope, with grief, wondering if everything they believed was wrong. And their future was bleak. There was no light. With Jesus gone, their hope was gone. Everything was like darkness. Jesus was the one who was to have saved them from the trials of this world. He was the one who was to free them from political oppression. They had staked their life on him, and then they watched him die a shameful death on the cross. And so instead of peace and hope and joy and love and light, there's darkness and the smell of death. Can you just picture them locked in that room? You know, many of us can, because we find ourselves locked in a room of darkness sometimes. But while they were locked in that room of darkness, Jesus the light showed up. You know, don't you just love it when the hero in a movie shows up at just the right time? I mean, you're watching the movie and everything just looks all hopeless, and all of a sudden the hero shows up. John Wayne comes riding in, saves the day, or Superman flies through and it's all taken care of, or whatever your super movie hero may be. They show up at just the right time. Folks, Jesus always shows up right on time. Sometimes we wonder. We want him to come a whole lot sooner than what he does. But what we discover is Jesus always shows up right on time. That tells us really one important thing here. Jesus didn't wait for the disciples. He didn't wait for the disciples to move past their fears and to come out of the locker room and come find him. He went to them right where they were. He went to them in that locked, dark room. He went to them because he is the light. And he showed light into their darkness. You know, that's the neat thing about light. Light overcomes darkness. Light overcomes the darkness of death through the resurrection. Light overcomes darkness. And he came and he shone light into their darkness and spoke words of peace to them. Peace be to you. This is one place where Jesus didn't question their fears. He didn't rebuke them for their fears. He didn't rebuke them for their lack of faithfulness. He just embraced them with words of comfort and peace. You see, the disciples needed to embrace the reality of the incarnate God. They needed to remember who Jesus really is. Locked in their fear, they needed to see Jesus as the light. In John chapter 1, we see this beautiful and powerful, the powerfulness of God that draws near to us. You know, the Bible tells us that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. But folks, the beauty that we find here in John chapter 1 is that God's not waiting for us to draw near to him. He's drawing near to us. He's coming to us. The Word, Jesus, was in the beginning, and with words, creation was formed. And we're given this image in Genesis of the Holy Spirit hovering over the deep waters covered in darkness. See, the whole creation story should remind us we're covered, who are covered in darkness, that God is with us. Even in our darkest moments, God is with us. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were present at creation, and they are present in our chaotic, dark times. You know, this is all a reminder that Jesus is God. He is the incarnate God who draws near to us. And John refers to him as being the Word and light. Word at creation means he was not separate from the Creator God, but he is the same as the Creator God. Creation was created by words, and now the Word, God, has come into the world that he created, bringing light to everyone. You see, light is an image of overcoming darkness. That's what light does. Light overcomes darkness. That's its very nature. Darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. And darkness cannot overcome light. But by its very definition, it is defined solely by its relationship to light. Darkness cannot overcome light. As long as you have light, there won't be darkness. The darkness only comes when you turn out the light. The darkness can't turn out the light. The darkness cannot turn out the light of Jesus. And so light dispels darkness. It always has and it always will. And so there's nothing about our darkness that can stop the light of Jesus from shining in our lives. The light came and the Word made his dwelling among us. You know, Jesus didn't stay in heaven. He became a human. He left the splendor of heaven knowing what he was going to face, but yet he came. He put on flesh, and therefore he understands fully what it means to be a human like you and me. You see, God wanted to be near us. He wanted to get close to us. And the only way to do so was to become one of us. And so he came. He came not waiting for us to come to him. He comes stepping into our dark rooms of fear and darkness. You know, the Apostles' Creed states that he descended into hell. And one of the things that we can draw from this creed and this statement is the fact there is no distance that Jesus will not go for the sake of humanity. There is no distance that Jesus will not go for your sake. He desires to be with us, to come to you. And so he comes bringing light into the world. He defeated the darkness of sin and death through his resurrection. And you know, if Jesus can defeat the darkness of sin and death, and he did, Jesus can handle any darkness we may have. You see, knowing darkness, we need to be reminded the light has come. In the darkness, we are locked in places of fear. And we're weighed down with grief and pain and sorrow. And maybe we're wondering what the future holds. And just how can anything good come from whatever it is? The disciples were in fear for their lives, for political and religious leaders. And you know, our fears, though they may be different, are just as real and just as threatening. See, our world is full of darkness. And it's easy for us to be overwhelmed around the darkness. You see, our world knows the darkness of poverty. In 2019, the United States had a poverty rate of 10.5. That means poverty affected 34 million people in the United States. The 2020 census states that Arkansas has a 16.2% poverty rate. That makes us number 8 of the poorest states in the United States. Faulkner County, 14.4% poverty rate. 13.8 are food insecure. What can one person do against such a huge problem? And you know, the thing is, we all should be doing what we can do, but the truth is, we're better together. That's why we as a church participate in the spirit of Alonia, the food pantry, helping those who are in the darkness of poverty. Not only is the darkness of poverty in our world, but disease. I mean, COVID-19, cancer, heart disease, as well as a myriad of other diseases. And they all remind us we're not even close to being in control. We really can't predict the future. Disease could affect any one of us at any times. You know, millions died this last year from a never-before-seen virus. We didn't even know what it was before last spring. If we wanted to, and we wanted to dwell on it, and some people do, the disease in our world just becomes a dark black hole. What's going to affect me next? And they suffer. There's the darkness of racism. You know, it's always existed, and probably always will. You see, the only answer to it is Jesus. That's it. Coming to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior and beginning to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and loving everyone else like we love ourselves. But until everybody comes to the place they love Jesus, it's going to impact our world, and it's going to impact every one of us in one way or another. We either experience it or we know somebody who has experienced it. You know, possibly more than ever before, we have seen people cry out in pain and anger over the sin that impacts them. It's a real darkness in our world. And then there's despair, depression. You know, depression is a real health problem. It's not something that you can just shake off. It's not something that you can just overlook. It's not something that you can just pull yourself up and keep on going. It's a real health problem, just like COVID and cancer and heart disease. And then you throw a pandemic on top of it, and it gets even darker than it was before. It's a black hole. What can we do to help people battle the darkness in their hearts? And the truth is, as you would think about it, there are many more dark places, more darknesses that impact our homes and our churches and our neighborhoods and our communities and our world. Whew, that's a dark subject, isn't it? But here's the good news. In the midst of the darkness, don't forget the light has come. Jesus came to earth to live among broken people drowning in darkness. Because the light has come into the world, the kingdom of God has come. And it may seem impossible to eradicate the darkness of the world and the issues that it faces. But the truth is, there are people doing incredible things for others that reflect the goodness. We've witnessed amongst ourselves people who donated to those in need or took food or ran errands for those who were quarantined and couldn't get out. Demonstrating goodness, showing love and kindness and goodness to others. And you know, every time when we see the good, loving, gracious things going on around us, we are reminded that the Holy Spirit is at work. He is hovering over the darkness. And God is drawing near. You see, when you see goodness, we're reminded the light has come. Jesus has come. The incarnation is for everyone. He came for everyone. And so whatever darkness we are facing, Jesus is there with us. We don't have to face anything alone. We serve a God who is with us even in our locked up dark rooms. He joins us in our suffering. He's with us in our darkness. And he seeks to bring light and words of peace. For Jesus declares peace in the darkness. He did it for his disciples. And he does it for us in a way that brings light into our darkness. And you know, it's important for us to find light in our darkness. Because being resurrection people, we're also to be people of light. Jesus commissioned his disciples in John 20 to go into the world. You see, when we have experienced the light of Jesus in our life, we're to share the light. You know, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then he went on to say what? You. Hey, you. Yeah, you, my follower. You're the light of the world. And so we are sent into the world to share the light of Christ to those around us. If we have experienced the peace of Christ in our life, then we are to go and to be peacemakers. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." And in John 1, John tells us that if you believe Jesus and accept him, he has given you the right to be called the child of God, to be a child of God. And as a child of God, we are to be peacemakers in our world. And so I ask you this morning, where is peace needed in your world? And when I ask you that question, I'm not talking about crossing the pond, going to Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and all those other stands. I'm talking about your world, where you're at, your circle of influence. Where is you live? Where is peace needed in your world? You got a picture of it? In what way can you actively engage in peacemaking? In what way, in that place, in your world that needs peace, can you actively be a peacemaker and shine the light of Jesus? You see, having encountered Jesus, we are to illuminate the world. We are to let our light shine. We are to be the city on a hill, shining the light into the darkness for everyone to see. So how can we be involved in shining light into darkness? How can we be involved in bringing peace into dark places? Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God when he came, and that kingdom is still at work in our world today. Oh, may we have the eyes to see the kingdom of God at work and participate in that work ourselves. We have been freed from the power of sin and death by the resurrection. The resurrection has freed us from the darkness. The resurrection empowers us to live in peace. This is the good news of Easter. This is the good news of Easter for the children of God, but it's also the good news of Easter for the whole world. The resurrection brings light and peace. There is light in the midst of the darkness of our lives, and His name is Jesus. And there is peace for us no matter the darkness, because Jesus came being one of us. He suffered. He died on the cross. He descended into hell. He even joins us in the dark places in our own lives. But you know, ultimately He arose. He conquered the power of sin and death and darkness. And for those who know darkness, that's good news. But it's also good news for the whole world that knows darkness. And we get to join in the work of God in shining light in our dark world. You see, by the power of God at work in us, as children of God, as people of resurrection, we can look darkness in the face and dispel it with love and grace and the light of Jesus that is in us. So on this Easter Sunday, will you let the light of Jesus dispel your darkness, wherever it may be, so that you can shine His light to the people in your world, that they too will see the darkness can go away when the light, when Jesus enters their dark place. Dear God, this morning, we've all known dark places in our life. In fact, some of us today, dear God, may be experiencing dark places in our life. And we want to just lock the door and hide in the darkness for fear of what may be out there. But dear God, Your word tells us today that You've come to us. Your Spirit is hovering over the darkness, and the sun, the light, is coming into our dark rooms. Dear God, may we accept the light. That the light of Jesus will dispel the darkness in our lives, and our life, dear God, will become a light for You. Our life, dear God, will become that city sitting on a hill that shines the love and the light of God to those around us, that they too will realize in their dark places the light has come. And the light desires to transform their life the way You've transformed ours. Dear God, when we enter those dark places in our life, for whatever the reason may be, dear God, help us to remember that You, the light, have come into the world. And You desire to light our life. And dear God, help us to be a light, to share our Lord and Savior with others, that the darkness will be dispelled. And we will know the peace of God in our lives. And we will experience Your love and Your grace and Your mercy in fresh new ways. It just brings transformation and newness into life. Jesus, we praise You today for the resurrection. The grave couldn't hold You. You arose, and You live interceding for us today at the right hand of the Father, and we just give You praise and thanks and glory today for being the light that lives and shines into our lives. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Well, thank you for